Hey there, I'm Lindsay Zarniak, and this is Players, conversations with country music stars about their interest in sports. This episode is about a guy that I find insanely likable, Cole Swindell. Cole Swindell, he has a bunch of music that's really great. I happen to be a huge fan of You Should Be Here, but I've got to tell you right now, he's got a lot going on. Cole has an album out. It's called All of It. It debuted in August and right away shot up the charts. But when he came in to talk to me, I realized that he is an artist who truly understands and values just how unpredictable and also how special his journey has been to superstardom. You Should Be Here is phenomenal. That's a song very much about his dad, but there's a song on his new album that's called Dad's Old Number that when you hear it, for me at least, I mean, it makes me almost cry every single time. It's about a guy who just wants to be able to call his dad up using his old number and tell him about anything really that's going on, but he can't because his dad's no longer here. And for those of you that don't know, Cole's father was tragically killed in a freak accident when a truck that he was working on fell on him. That was a few years back. But Cole, in his conversation with me, shared the bond they had over their love of sports and how Cole played sports from an early age, but how that was really their thing. His story about his father is truly remarkable. And to see Cole realize while he was telling that story just about how much that's played into his music success as well was pretty fascinating. He also had a lot of light moments, though. I mean, I loved hearing about the moment that he actually realized, hey, I can really make it in this industry. You will never believe where that happened for him. You've got to hear it. He also tells a pretty phenomenal story about the moment he was trying to pitch a certain song and he realized the executive listening to it actually loved it. The way he tells the story makes you feel the kind of paranoia that set in for Cole that day. He met me at the offices in Nashville, the WME offices. That's his booking agent. And I asked Cole what it was like to be there once again, you know, since he first started out in this business, basically up until now when he's really made it. So here is my conversation with Cole Swindell. So we're here in the studios at WME, one of the biggest agencies out there. And when we're sitting in this room, which is pretty decked out, by the way, guitars, yeah, everything. I mean, what do you remember about the first time, Cole, that you came here into this building?
Yeah, this is fairly new, this building. So it's, you know, the last one was fine with me because that was my first, you know, first getting my first booking agent. And so I didn't know any different. It was, you know, offices just like any other workspace. But this is more, I don't know, it feels, you know, more about the music. And there's just so much stuff here. I mean, rooms like this where we can sit and talk. There's studio where I can go sing vocals if I want to. There's, you know, and just everybody here. These are the people that, you know, responsible sending me around the country. So it's cool to be able to get in here and see them when I can.
So when you talk about your first booking agent, how long ago was that?
I mean, I guess it's been 5-6 years ago probably now. Kevin Meads is his name. He's still the same guy. So that's we started this thing, you know, before I got my record deal and playing shows and getting me out there in front of the people. Gaining fans every night is, you know, that was a big deal. Me ended up, you know, getting a record deal.
So when you think back to that start, I mean, when was this seed first planted in your head? You know, this is what I want to do. This is what the dream really is. Or did it actually start with sports?
Yeah, definitely. Sports was always my dream as a kid. I mean, I always loved music, you know, and I fell in love with country music, but I love all formats. But in the 90s, you know, that was when, you know, as a kid, being a Braves fan, it was amazing. The music, I still look back, 90s country music, just 90s music in general, some of my favorite music of all time.
And wait,
just,
like what? Please share.
I'm speaking mainly, you know, I'm just thinking of like Alan Jackson stuff, country music. But then like any of the pop, I can't think of anything, but it'd be fun to put on, you know, if we put on a little 90s playlist right now, the pop music, they're all just like, God,
I feel like that's always on in my car, right? Or maybe it's my husband's car. That's it. And it's like, God, this takes me back, right?
It does. And that's what's amazing just
like
about music.
Bell DeVoe and right?
Yeah, just whatever it is. I can't remember all the names. It's just when that song comes on, it's like, oh my God, I forgot about this. So, yeah, that was when, you know, but for me back then, I was just a fan of music. I loved sports, played sports growing up my whole life. And, it wasn't really until I was almost out of high school that I ever even knew I could carry a tune or anything. It happened in Panama City. I got up on like a spring break trip, sang karaoke.
No. Wait a minute. That's how it started?
Kind of. I already love music, but yeah, you know, somebody would always have a guitar at a party or whatever, and everybody's kind of singing along, and somebody down in Panama City, they're like, man, you're pretty good. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And we ended up at some karaoke place and ended up somehow had the courage to get up there and sing a song. And it was kind of like, people were like, what's going on? And that just kind of, at that point, that was my first just little boost. You know, I was nowhere where I am now, but it was, you know, the first little boost of like, hey, maybe I could do this. And that was, yeah, there I was, you know, about to go to college, wasn't going to play sports in college. I dreamed of that, but it just kind of, you know, wasn't going to work, and ended up going to Georgia Southern, and that was where I played my first gig ever. That's why I, you know, I'm pretty loyal to that school and my college, and it's a pretty crazy story how that started.
Wait a minute. So take me back here. So who were you on the trip with to Panama City?
Just, you know, friends from back home. That's where we spent my summers, you know. I think it was a summer trip. It wasn't even spring break. It was just the summer, family and friends. But I don't remember exactly who all was there. That's been forever ago. But, yeah, that was just the first kind of deal that was like, man, maybe I could do this in college. And I ended up meeting a buddy going through Rush. We were both Sigma Chi's together, and we played the bars. That's really how I got my start. That's how I met Luke, Brian, and, you know, the story. It's so crazy. I remember moving to Nashville scared to death. I didn't have a story, you know. I didn't grow up singing with, you know, since I was 5 years old, like a lot of people that moved to Nashville. I grew up playing sports, but I would always love music. So when I got there, now just looking back at my whole story from, you know, how it all started from me selling T-shirts for Luke Bryan to writing songs to where I am now. It's just, I wouldn't have believed this story if I hadn't lived it, I don't think.
So. Gosh. Well, okay, one question real quick. What was the song, do you remember, that you sang up there on that karaoke?
Yeah, it was called Amazed by Lone Star. So obviously I was trying to probably catch somebody's attention. I don't know why I picked that, but going back to that's an older song, but man, it's crazy now to think that was it. But my go-to karaoke song is probably Carrying Your Love With Me, George Strait.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's good. I like that a lot. But wait, so it was sort of like a validation then, is what you're describing, that you got just like a little boost of confidence,
maybe,
right?
Yeah,
like, hey,
this is that, and that's the very, people may know that story, but I don't talk about that part of it, you know, the actual. If it wasn't, you know, for me getting up there singing that song, I may never be here. And that's, thinking about things like that just gives me full body. It's like crazy to think if that would have never happened, I may not be sitting here talking to you about this. So it's
like one little moment,
one
right?
moment. Just, that's all it's about. That's all it takes. That's, you know, and I am living proof of that. And that's what, to me, you know, getting to do what I do, just letting other people know that, hey, I'm just like you. I mean, this is, you know, I had to work once that happened. I mean, I had to, you know, work a long time at it and for this to happen. But you never know what's going to inspire you or who's out there or who you're going to inspire. So it's, to me, I love what I do. And it's crazy to think. I don't think about that very often, but that's where it all started.
So you talked about the college experience then, going around and playing here and there. I mean, what was that like? Because I didn't know many guys that could play or sing well in college, but I know if they were out there that we were glued to it, right?
Yeah,
like that must have been a really
it was cool
experience.
Yeah, there was a couple local folks that played around, but we were really the only ones that played country songs, whatever's on the radio, you know, older stuff, newer stuff, whatever it was. But it was all, you know, it was all songs that at that point I wasn't writing songs yet. I was just, to me, just singing hit songs, and I fell in love with being on stage first. You know, I didn't really realize the point that, hey, you can write your own songs at that point. I mean, I was a freshman in college singing cover songs, and it was just fun to me to see other people having fun, and that's where I got, you know, the love for being on stage, entertaining. And it wasn't until later in my college years, after I'd been there for far too long, if you ask my mom, that I realized that, hey, these aren't even my songs. Like, I want people to be singing back to my songs. But it was a lot of years of just playing cover songs and songs that I wish I'd written, I wish were mine. And, so that's what it, you know, it all started with, was just singing songs everybody wanted to hear. And I think that led to, you know, knowing what kind of songs people love and how I want to put on a show, that led to, you know, how I started writing songs later on in my career.
There are so many questions I have for you right now. But before we get into that, I want to go back. So, sports for you, because I would imagine when you started to get on that stage, maybe that was a similar feeling to what you had when you were on a certain stage in sports. Is that accurate to say?
Very, very true. Yeah. I mean, that's what I feel like. I describe that all the time when people say, how is it? Especially now. But back then, I was, it was probably more like, you know, my high school football days, just how, you know, nervous you get right before just those butterflies. And that's how it was. My first show, I mean, I could barely breathe. I don't think
really?
I've ever been that nervous. Yeah, just because I was out of my element. But, yeah, I mean, being on the stage even today and even back then, that's that rush that I don't think you can get anywhere. But it reminded me of sports and those Friday nights or whatever it was, baseball, basketball, just, you know, moments that you wouldn't get if you weren't playing that sport. And, you know, it's just crazy to think that I kind of traded all that in for, you know, kind of the same feeling, but just a different venue, you know, different stadium or whatever.
Right?
Yeah,
not, or it kind of just found you,
yeah,
right?
It
more
really
like,
did.
No,
really
that's
did.
That's amazing. And so what did you have a favorite sport growing up and how are you introduced to them in general? Was it a family thing?
Yeah, some of my favorite memories were, you know, watching baseball with my dad. I always loved football growing up, going to Georgia Southern games. But baseball, I think that's what I played from, you know, the time I could walk and swing was baseball. But, you know, played so much that I kind of got burnt out, didn't play in my middle school years, then came back, played in high school. But as a kid, I mean, especially, you know, back in the 90s, the Braves were unbelievable. I meet
right.
people all over this country now that mm-hmm. say, yeah, growing up, that was the only team around where that we could watch just because they were on TBS or whatever it was. And that's, to me, I mean, that's cool. But me, living in Georgia, I didn't really realize that. They were on every night, no matter what, and we were huge Braves fans. And a lot of my favorite memories of my dad are, you know, getting to watch those years where, you know, we were so good. The Braves were unbelievable. And just those kind of memories, I mean, that's what makes them special because, you know, we've hadn't been that good since. But it's this year has been amazing. So it's just going back to sports. I loved it all. I really did. Basketball. I was a big basketball fan, football. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'd have to pick baseball as a kid. You know, now I love it all about the same, I think.
Did you remember yourself getting nervous ever playing baseball, like you mentioned, like before that first show?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean,
really?
Just in high school, I mean, I remember, yeah, just being on deck knowing that, hey, you don't want to be, you're going to be the last out or you're going to be you don't want to be that guy that strikes out last, whatever. Just that kind of feeling or even before the game, just that, you know, wanting to do well. And I remember, I think, you know, when you're nervous, I think that just means you care and you want to perform the best you can, whether that's on stage, on the field. And, you know, just now having met some athletes that, you know, I'm a huge fan of, to know that you know, our stories are somewhat similar, how, you know, we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. I think sports, you know, now, if you'd have told me as a kid that there was going to be a baseball player walking up to one of my songs, you know, as their walk up, I mean, that's...
That just gave me chills.
Stuff is
you're
just,
right.
Yeah, it's just not even, you don't even think they're going to ever cross paths. But, you know, I would have dreamed of being in the major leagues as a kid. And, you know, closest I'll ever get, I got to play Turner Field before one of the
oh
last years.
Goodness.
And it was just, you know, one of the coolest after the game, I got to play the show. And it was one of those you should be here moments. My dad, I know he was smiling down. That was something that, you know, I'll never forget. And that's what I'm saying. I always dreamed of playing in the Braves Stadium, and there I am playing music in it. And that's something as a kid I would have never dreamed of that. So it's funny how things work out. But I think, you know, you end up where you're supposed to be, and you find what you love. And for me, you know, music took over that. You know, I love mm-hmm. music like I did sports as a kid. I still love sports, but nothing makes me feel like music does. So.
Wow. And it is interesting when you talk about how similar they are, and it's like you don't really realize that until you say it out loud. What was that moment like for you when you describe playing Turner Field and thinking about that and thinking about your dad? And I know your fans know
yeah,
the storyline well,
absolutely.
But for those that don't, you know, losing
oh, yeah.
your dad in 2013,
yeah.
is that right?
Yeah, it was Labor Day 2013. That was just you know, one of the craziest times of my life. I had just gotten my record deal. You know, he knew that my dreams have been fulfilled. You know, I chased this dream, and he was so happy. And that, you know, you got to look at the positive. And it's been, you know, 5 years now. And, you know, I've met people, but you ought to hear the stories I've heard just from other people, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I know that if he had known that going a little early and me writing a song that would help so many, he would have been cool with that. But going back to, you know, playing Turner Field, that's, you know, just one of those moments that, you know, I know everybody has, and it doesn't matter if you're in my business or what you're doing. I mean, we all have those moments where you wish somebody could be there with you, and the ones that, you know, kind of got you there that would appreciate it. So, you know, for me to play that, get to play that song there, it was just one of those bittersweet moments. You know, I wish he was there, but there's a lot of people out there that are going through the same thing, and I think, you know, getting to do what I do,
yeah.
I get to put myself out there and let them know that, hey, I'm just like you. I get to have fun up here, but I also, you know, been through stuff as well, and I get to share that through my music. That's kind of how I let people know that, hey, I've been through some of the same stuff. So Turner Field is one of the probably my favorite venues I'll ever play, just because of the history and what the emotional, you know, attachments I have to watching the Braves and getting to play my music there. So
I saw, I think it was a quote in a magazine that you had said something about you came here to Nashville to write that song. Is that right?
I mean, that's what I realized. Yeah, I didn't know that. Obviously, when I moved here,
yeah.
I wish I would have never had to write it, but I don't know if I feel like that anymore. I'm glad I did, mm-hmm. and I think going back to finding the positive in things, I mean, gosh, I don't have a show now where I don't meet somebody every single night that doesn't tell me their "You Should Be Here" story, or, you know, we got a new one on the new album called Dad's Old Number that's special. It's just kind of those are the kind of songs that help people, and, you know, that's what I want to do. I've been a fan, I think. That's a blessing to me, is to grow up as a fan of sports and music, because now I'm on the other side of that in a way, at music especially. And I know what I would have done if somebody would have stopped and taken a picture, or, you know, if we'd have had Twitter, tweeted me back, or, you know, sent right. a video to somebody on their birthday. It's just little things like that. I think being a fan, it made me appreciate. And I always said, if I could ever do that, I'm going to do that. And that's, to me, that's a big part of it, is, you know, if somebody had to make me feel that way by playing sports, if I hadn't grown up a Dale Murphy fan or Randy Travis, those were the two people as a kid that I thought hung the moon. So
wow.
Yeah, it's going back, yeah, you know, baseball, sports, and music is just a huge, huge part of my life.
You know what's funny, too, is thinking about folks that hear you talk about this stuff, and maybe you're in high school or whatever, and the fact that you didn't even realize that this was your life path, right? Until after that. That is pretty freaking amazing.
And so to them, imagine being them, you know, that little small town. Even my mom, I mean, I didn't start really singing until college, and she didn't, it was 3.5-4 hours away. She wasn't gonna really come see shows.
She's like, what are you doing?
So when I told her I was moving to Nashville, I mean, she thought I was kidding. I think it was just
really
kinda, and a lot of people, I mean, even people in college with me, because, you know, there I had people that were supporting me and whatever, but there's still those people that are like, what are you thinking, dude? They were, you know, going up, getting real jobs. Here I was moving to Nashville, and I'm glad that, you know, sometimes it takes folks like that to motivate you, the people that don't believe you can do it. But, you know, my hometown people, it was just more to them of like, what are you talking about? He sings, he writes songs. It was just, and that's, it's kind of cool like that. But it took a little while to get an actual, you know, following around my hometown, because nobody knew what I did. That's the craziest story.
They didn't believe you. So what'd you do? Did you do stuff to try to get their attention? Pass out flyers? What happened?
I had CDs and stuff I'd pass around, and I just, you know, for a while, I grew up the whole time there and never sang one song. And then here I am moving to Nashville. And it's just, like I said, that's just part of the story I don't think about every day, but I'm glad I'm sitting here getting to bring it all up. It's just crazy thinking about it when you all sit back. And it takes my mom sometimes in this business. It's always, what's next? What's next? The grind, the drive you have to have. But, God, you know, every now and then you just got to step back and just think. If you'd have told me what I've done in 5 years with a record deal, I mean, I would have been fine with that in 10 years, I think, you know, at the beginning. But it just, so it's nice to have people in your life that have known you, you know, before you got to do what you do, and just to bring you, you know, keep you humble.
What does your mom think about this journey?
So proud, but I can't imagine. I don't know. You know, I honestly wish, she tells me all the time, I mean, how amazing, and just her friends and her family, and she says she feels like she's famous, and that's the coolest thing. She took care of me, you know, single mom, raised me with my grandparents when I was, you know, from fifth grade on, and she just, wow, I mean, she gave me everything. She sacrificed so much for me, and now to be able to take care of her is just, I don't know. I know she didn't think that would ever be possible when I left school and went to Nashville, but it all, you know, it all worked out, and like I said, that she is, I don't know, she's all I got. I love her to death, and I wouldn't be here without her, so. I know she's proud, and that's you know, the best feeling in the world.
Do you, I'm sure you You buy her nice things.
Yeah, you know, we've a couple of things, and that's the only. I try to be pretty smart. I try to save my money, but she's the only purchase I've really made. I've got me a place. I got her a house and a car, and that's it. So it's not bad for 5 years. We got a good deal on both. So yeah, it's crazy just, you know, being from the town we're from and being able to take care of her.
I love shopping. I love going to a mall, walking around, going to try on different clothes. But the one part of shopping I do not love is bra shopping. And candidly, I will admit that I am not as well endowed as I think I should be. However, you know what? Got to make do with what you got, right, ladies? So here's the deal. I started hearing about Third Love, and I asked some of my friends, have you heard about this bra brand? And surprisingly, a lot of my girlfriends had. They said, oh, yeah, I've heard about this, that company, but they didn't know much about it. And then I had an opportunity to try one. And I have to tell you, I am very excited to say I think Third Love is pretty amazing. And the main thing for me is I was able to skip the trip, right? I was able to find a fit in 60 seconds with Third Love's online fit finder. So you can do that, and then you order. You try it on at home. You don't have to be in a fitting room. There's nothing awkward. No people trying to use the measuring tape and fit you where. And, you know, guys don't know about this. Ladies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I literally was able to take this online quiz in between turning PJ Masks on the television so my son could watch and making dinner for my daughter while she was sitting in her high chair. So it literally took me just a matter of minutes. I was able to order the bra, and then it delivered to my house 2 days later. I tried it on, and it was the real deal. There are a couple things that I really love about this. First of all, it really is one of the most comfortable bras that I've ever owned. Secondly, tagless labels. How cool is that? They don't itch. The straps really don't slip. And seriously, because that's something that happens a lot with me, it did not happen at all with this one. It's ultra soft, smoothing fabric, lightweight, super thin memory foam cups if we're getting in the weeds. But the thing is, you know, it's hard. And one of the measuring sticks I always use is when you put on a cotton shirt and how does it look? And I think this passes the test under several pieces of clothing. It takes its customer input seriously. Third Love, they recently launched their most requested style, which is cotton t-shirt bras like I'm talking about, as well as cotton underwear. But the result, guys, is a line of incredibly soft, smooth, breathable bras and underwear that you are going to want to wear every single day. I am already getting ready to choose the other colors that I'm going to order. Third Love knows there is a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. I really encourage everybody to try it because it's worth it. Try it once and you're going to be hooked. Go to thirdlove.com/Lindsay now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. Lindsay, that's spelled L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. Again, that's thirdlove.com/Lindsay for 15% off today. Trust me, your boobs will thank you. So how long did it take once you got here? Was it longer than you thought? And what was that grind like?
You know, when I moved here, and I think that's what caught everybody off guard, I moved here to be an artist, you know, but I knew at that point, by the time I was coming to Nashville, the songwriting is what I knew I wanted to be better. I knew at that point, like I said earlier, these weren't my songs I was singing. I wanted them to be my songs. So I moved to be a better songwriter. I ended up, you know, Luke at the time needed a merchant. He was brand new. Luke Bryan is who I'm speaking of for those listening. And he brand new, just got a record deal. He needed a t-shirt guy. And I was like, well, I need a job. And I just want to be, I had already told myself, look, I don't know if I'll ever get a record deal. I don't know if I'll ever be able to write a good song, but I'm going to work in the business somehow because music at that time, you know, that was what I loved.
And how much older was he than you? How many years was
Luke? You know, he had just left, I think, to move to Nashville by the time I had gotten there. So I don't know how many years we're apart, but that a lot of people think just because we're in the same fraternity, same college, we were there throwing parties every night together. It was different. I mean, he had already moved to write songs and do his thing by the time I got to college. So that's kind of how he had come back to play a show and we met when I was in college. But yeah, so going back to, you know, selling t-shirts, that was my first job. With still out there on the road, every chance I got, I was writing songs. His guitar player, which had played with him for years, ended up being my producer, and me and him had to write a lot of bad songs that I would not play for anybody. That's how it is. You gotta write a lot of songs just to get one good one, and that's hard to take when you want all of it. You want to be good immediately, but it takes a lot of work. So that was what I did. And after about 3 years of doing that, Luke kind of knew that, all right, you didn't come here to sell T-shirts. You're writing some songs that I believe in, and that was really a big deal for me. I was such a fan of his music and the way he did things. I got to learn as a merch guy how an artist does things, a new artist at that, and how he treated people. It just, like I said, I didn't know what I was even learning, I don't think, but just being around that, looking back now, was a huge, huge advantage, I think, for me. You know, when I got my chance, it was like I had been there, but it wasn't, you know, me doing it. So
what does a merch guy do? What's your daily responsibilities?
Just checking in all the T-shirts, hats, whatever, CDs, every bit of merchandise somebody has. Mm-hmm. And back then, I mean, we were doing little clubs. We'd sell $500 a night maybe, and now there's no telling how much merchandise he sells. But it's, like I said, I mean, everybody, you got to start somewhere, and that was my first deal. And then I got off the road and got my first publishing deal with Sony ATV where, you know, you make a living writing songs. And that was all, at that point, the artist thing, the record deal was in the back of my, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was so infatuated with writing songs. And
did you have a specific, like, was there a message that you consciously really wanted to get out or wanted to write about? Like, how did you go from not really being in this to wanting so badly to do that?
You know, just, I love music. I love songs. I mean, and the fact that I was getting a chance to create them and seeing, you know, sending them to my buddies back home and just having that. I just loved, like I said, the whole reason I wanted to do it is because I know how songs made me feel. And that, you know, that was it. I wanted to make other people feel the way I felt when I listened to songs. And that's, you know, for a while, you know, that was all I wanted to do, was write the best songs. I just, you know, I was writing songs for other people, trying to. And it's so hard to get a song recorded. What a lot of people don't realize is there's, you know, I don't know how many songwriters in here in Nashville, Tennessee, that write songs every single day, and I wonder what the percentage of that, the ones really that get recorded. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. So, you know, I went years just trying to get a song recorded, and finally, you know, my first number one was a song I wrote for Thomas Rhett, but the first song I ever got recorded was a song I wrote about my little hometown back in Georgia called Water Tower Town that Scotty McCreery, it was right after he won American Idol, he recorded it, and that was kind of the first thing that got my name out there as a writer, and ended up writing a few more for Luke, FGL, and some more folks. So
the first time you heard one of your songs on the radio?
Oh, man.
What was that like? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. I was at, you know, where I wrote songs at Sony ATV in the parking lot. And some of my management figured out what time they were going to play Chillin' It, which was my first single, you know. And, man, just to sit there and think, you know, I was the kid that grew up, you know, calling in to the local radio station requesting my favorite song. And, you know, to be sitting there listening to me on the radio singing was... you know, I wish I could go back to however many years, you know, 5 years ago, whatever that was, and go back to that moment, because I know it was awesome. But that's the thing. I mean, songs, sometimes you just wish you could go back and just feel that exact moment. Because now, you know, it never gets old. I mean, it's still, to me, it's crazy every time one of my songs comes on. But you don't hear it very, I'm not in my truck a whole lot, so I don't hear it very often. But it's just hard to believe, I think, that, you know, you grow up dreaming of just meeting one of those people, and then there you are singing songs because of somebody that influenced you. You know, that's it's pretty crazy.
What was the toughest part about it? What did you know, like in sports, when you think about, I talk to NFL players a lot who, you know, obviously that grind is so tough, and you go through, you know, training camp, and then you get to the game, and so many things happen, and then there's injury, and there's this and that. For you, on this side of the coin, what are the biggest challenges that you faced?
You know, I think I was broke. I mean, you don't, even after I got my public, but before that, it was just, it's tough. I mean, but as a songwriter, especially a new one, they call it a draw, like your salary, you know, but that, all that money you pay back to them once you get a song recorded. So that's kind of how it works. But as a new guy, you don't get a whole lot of money. So that was a big deal. Just living and knowing how hard it is. I think the competition, knowing that, wow, I know how much work I have to do, but that's not going to happen unless I just go do it. And but at that point, you know, people believed in me. I was getting in the rooms with some of my favorite writers, and I could tell things were happening. But yeah, it's you know, those things, I think, and just getting songs recorded. There's so many great songs out there that, you know, there's however many songwriters and however many songs a day, and somebody makes an album of 10 songs. I mean, that's not a very good chance of of getting them out there, and that's how you make a living. So, but I think learning from, you know, just thinking of that, I know what it's like, and I know what it means to get a song recorded. When Luke recorded Roller Coaster, it changed my life. It, you know, everything.
And, how so?
I'm just saying, I didn't have to worry about it. My name was out there. I mean, I had a song that was on a huge album. That was just a big time in my life, a song on the radio that went number one. I mean, you know, it's not all about the money. I'm just saying it at that point, it felt good to finally have some success. I mean, you go from so long thinking this song's going to get recorded, this song, and then finally it helps you know that, hey, maybe I'm doing the right thing here. Maybe you doubt that sometimes. I think just, hey, is everybody back wrong? Are they right? And am I crazy for being here? And, you know, that, I don't think that entered my mind a lot, but it definitely did. I mean, I'm human, and there's times where things aren't happening the way you think they should. But I've learned there's been several times where that happened, and, you know, they work out even better than you thought a couple months later or however long. And that's just funny how it all works. You think you know how your life's supposed to go down.
Or have you ever had moments where, and I have, and this is why I ask that, where people will say something to you and they're just commenting on whatever it is, right? But they can say something and you in your head take it and you're like, well, why don't they think that I should be?
Oh my God.
Right? Like, you know, and I think, you know, for me dealing with that, that's one thing. You though, and when you're out there, it's
you're
like,
out there. It's everything. And songs, you know, writing a song, mm-hmm. that was going back to what was hard for you. I mean, being a new guy, playing my songs for the head of the company and stuff. I mean, I can't explain the heart rate. Just those moments, but that's what you live for, to feel like that. I mean, it was just,
what is
oh
that
my
like
God,
though?
I love it.
How is that scenario? Just I don't know what that's
after,
like. You have to what?
Yeah,
just
after you write that day, you know, you and songwriting, you have, it's like an appointment. You have your schedule every day. It's like 10:30. I'm writing with so and so this day or this day. So you get done, and if you're excited about, you're not going to walk in and play something you're not excited about.
But how do you like schedule your creative process to be at that time? Are there things you have to do so that you're like, okay, I know 10 a.m. is my window? Is that easy?
Yeah, that's part of, you know, what the publishing company, they help with. They kind of do my schedule, and it shows up when I'm supposed to be where. Without that, I would not be able to do that. But it's just funny. Yeah, everybody. And that's the thing. It's just songwriting. I try to be on time. That's one of the things that's weird about me. I feel like a lot of artists, I feel like, or whatever, they kind of take their time, do whatever. I like to be on time, but it's, you know, people just kind of show up around the time. And
got it.
It's
okay.
Kind of just, you can't force it. Just kind of, some days you have an idea and it doesn't work out. Some days you don't have anything and you write a song that changes your life and somebody else's too. So it's crazy that how that all works, but I... you go in and you call up whoever and say, hey, are you around? Can I come play you what I wrote today? I'm excited. And even though you think it's great, it's still that moment of they've listened to a lot of songs. They've been here a lot longer than me. And just that feeling of, oh, my God, I hope they like this. And, you know, not knowing when the song ending, not even wanting to look at it, just, oh, God, what are they going to think?
Okay,
you know,
wait.
Just that.
So do you have an example of one that you've done and how that went? This is fascinating.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm sure there were times where, and they're not going to be like, I mean, I guess some people probably do, but they don't look at you and like, that sucked. You know, but it's just kind of, you can tell. You just learn. You learn when they're excited, you can't hide that. But when they're like, yeah, that's good. You know, you just kind of, and I'm like, thanks. And you know, they know,
and you're like, get me out of here.
Yeah, you're like, all right, cool. I'm writing tomorrow. I'll try to do better. We'll see you later. But, no, it was always good. But one of my favorite moments was going back to my first single, Chilling It. Mm-hmm. The lady that ended up being my manager, Carrie Edwards, I'd written this song and I'd been waiting on it to get back from the studio. And I'd been building it up like, Carrie, I'm telling you, this song is. And this was before I decided to be an artist. It was right around, you know, I'd been a songwriter for years. I was kind of on the fence, like trying to get a record deal, but we weren't, you know, sure that we were going to really go that path. That's what I wanted, but there's a lot that goes into thinking about that. So I wrote this song called Chilling It, and I remember I'm going in to play it for it. It had been a couple weeks of me talking about it, and by that point I'm like, oh my God, I've talked it up too much. She's expecting this to be like some big song, you know, and I was like, I think it is. I was like, I've listened to it enough to drive me crazy. I was like, I think it is. So go in, play her this song, and the whole time she's like sitting there with her head down, and
Because that's just how she takes it in.
She's listening,
right?
Like, and I'm just like freaking out. I mean, I'm getting nervous just thinking about this moment because it changed my life. It changed my life. And so we get done, and she just sits there.
And it's just you and a guitar.
Yeah, no, well, no. I'm listening to it on CD.
We've got
like the demo back and stuff. So we're listening on the speakers, and we get done, and it's just silent. You know, she's sitting there, and I want to just crawl under the bed, like dig a hole to wherever. And she looks up. And like freaks out, like jumps up, and she's like, "Are you sure you want to be an artist?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sure." She's like, "Are you sure? Like, you know everything that?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Well, this is it. This is the song, and that's history from there." But that was one of the times where it was worth being nervous for 3 minutes or however long the song is.
That is good stuff. Okay, take me back. I mean, that moment when she did that. What's going through your mind?
I feel like I'm reliving just. Just a relief. I'd built it up so much, and I really thought, I knew that I needed the song, you know, and that was part of being around the town for 6 years. I knew you got to have the song. I don't care how good you are, whatever, you got to have that first song, and it can't just be a good song. It's got to be different. It's got to be something that's going to break you out, that people don't really care who's singing it. They just want to turn it up, sing along, and that was, I knew I needed that kind of song. So when I wrote it, at that point, I could have easily given that song to Luke or pitched it to whoever, but I knew that I had to. And that was a big point, a turning point in my career, keeping a song like that for myself when, I wrote This Is How We Roll for Florida Georgia Line, Roller Coaster, more songs that people to this day, they're like, you wish you would have kept those. And I really don't. They helped me out. They got my name out there. And those guys were already stars. So they made them hits. And now I still get to play them in my shows. So. Yeah, just all those songs for me, really led to me getting my own stuff out there and chilling. It was that song. I had to keep it. I knew when they recorded, my songs, the last one Luke recorded, Roller Coaster, that album, I said, all right, if I write another song that I love and I really am serious about being an artist, I have to keep it. I don't care. It's going to be hard. And it was, just to say, what if it doesn't work out and I waste a song that I wrote that could have been a huge hit for somebody and it doesn't work out for me. But I think if you're going to bet on somebody, you got to bet on yourself. And I needed that song, and look at, and at that point, I needed a lot more songs if I was going to make an album, and all these other things I had written that I was upset that nobody had recorded, and I was down about, like, I needed those, and I got to record them, and they went on to be number one songs for me. And that's
such a crazy story.
Isn't that crazy? And I don't get to talk about all of it like this a lot. It's just kind of, I assume people, and people don't really, they don't know how crazy, and I don't even think I realize sometimes until I get to thinking about it, and it's just, wow. I mean, we are, I know how fortunate, but I think that it keeps me, I know how fortunate I am and how ridiculous some of this has been, and I'm, just thankful.
But hard work. And and bringing it back again to the whole sports tie, it's like you kind of went through that when you were playing sports earlier. But when you walked out of that room after that woman told you that, what was the first thing you did?
God, probably called my dad or one of my best friends back home, somebody. I just remember I was probably one of the happiest I've ever been, just knowing that what I thought, and talking to somebody that's been in the business a lot longer than me, I just thought this was going to be the song that started, and to know that she felt the same way, it's just, I was like, man, this is, maybe this is going to work out. But even at that point, I had no clue what was going to happen or how. I just knew that I'd wanted to be right there for years, but looking back, I was not ready, and I don't know if you're ever ready for the way my career started, but I just know that I think if I wouldn't have been around enough to learn and be around people that are good people, that I don't know if I would be here now. So
because you think you're ready a lot earlier than we all really are, right?
I don't mean to. I'm not trying to be a name dropper, but mm-hmm. Kenny Chesney, we went to see the last show of his tour up in Boston. He played Gillette Stadium a couple months back, and talking to him afterwards and just him telling me, you got to keep going, keep building the songs. And he said, I bet you want everything right now, don't you? And I was like, I mean, yeah, of course. I said, yeah, I want to be where you are someday. I was like, that's, and he said, hey, I I was the same way. He said, if I'd have gotten everything when I wanted, he said, I don't think I'd be where I am right now. And it just to hear somebody you look up to as a songwriter, person, you know, the stuff he does off the stage is just as amazing as on it. And that was one of my first people I saw, how he treated his crew and everybody around him. I mean, he's just somebody I've looked up to. And to hear that from him, it was just kind of like a, you know, it's only been 5 years, dude. Chill out. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And that's why I told that story, just to, you know, he's where he is at the top of the game, and he felt just like I did when he was where I was. So it's, you know, that's comforting, I think.
And you take that kind of lesson, and it's like, okay, how do you apply that now? And what? It's just sort of patience, yeah, which is so hard.
It is.
Hard
and
to have.
Just, yeah, but I know, you know, he works so hard. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, he's been doing it a long time. And to be able to do it as long as he has, you got to work your butt off. You have to love what you do, I think. And yeah, you got to catch some breaks along the way. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully, you know, getting there someday. It's going to be a while. But that, you know, thinking about it, like, when you get to the top, where's there to go? You know, I think the fun is getting there, and the story is in getting there. So I'm looking forward to, you know, a long time of working hard.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. I am a morning person, and that's when I have some of my greatest ideas. And oftentimes those include really big recipes, a beautiful dinner I'm going to make for my family that night. And the problem is I go through my day, I do a million things, and then I am dog tired and I'm looking at SpaghettiOs in my pantry, which I love, but I'm a mom now, so I need to think about, you know, branching out. So the question is, do you know about Green Chef? Because if you don't, you should. It is a USDA certified organic company that includes every single thing you need to be able to cook delicious meals that you can really feel good about. If you stick around, I'm going to tell you how you can save $50. But first, as I was saying, if you're like me, maybe you're a working mom who really wants to go to the store, but you just don't have time or you run out of time. I also don't want to sacrifice what time I have with my kids or with my husband, you know, and I want to be able to have something good to eat. My husband loves to cook. Sometimes I just want to be able to make him think I made something really good. So that's why I use Green Chef. They have all the options that you would need, right? Their meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore, pretty much something for everybody. And it's so easy. So what I did is I chose to get omnivore because I do love meat. And so here's how it works. Green Chef sends you a variety of organic ingredients and imaginative new recipes every single week. And these are recipes that are designed by chefs, expert chefs, and they use gourmet flavor that you typically only find in restaurants. So I had my package arrive to me, and we got pork chops, we had some meatloaf, and also chicken. When we made that first recipe, which is pork chops, I don't even love pork chops, but there was so much flavor. My husband was floored, and all I could do was look at him and smile and say, this is an amazing thing, right? So they send you a variety of all these ingredients and all these items. The recipes are really quick. They have step-by-step instructions, chef tips, photos also to guide you along if you're visual. The photos are really key. Everything is delivered right to your door. You don't have to worry about running to the store. Example here. We accidentally threw out the recipes, and I was able to call Green Chef, and they emailed them right to me. Or you can, if you're a little more tech savvy, just go online, and they've got them right there on their website too. Great to know. You can switch up your meal plan, by the way, and change the box you're getting when you want. You're not locked in. And of course, with Green Chef's wide variety of organic ingredients, you really can feel good about what you're eating and how it got to your table. So for $50 off your first box of Green Chef, which I highly recommend, go to greenchef.us/Lindsay. That's LINDSAY. But again, greenchef.us/Lindsay. I promise you won't regret it. You're going to be wanting to order your next one right away. What was the moment to you that was when you talked earlier about how you wanted to be able to write songs that you were really making people feel? What was it that was that moment for you so far in your career?
Oh, man. You know, I think always that I just wanted to write the best song I could. I some of my first songs that I got recorded were more fun, you know, stuff that, but look at me, you know, and a lot of people, you catch flack for stuff like that, songs that are fun. But to me, that's what some people love. I mean, I love fun. I love all kinds of music. And I think, to me, country music is, I'd always seen it as you know, any kind. I mean, just as long as it's real life and you can relate to it, it doesn't matter what it is. But I think, you know, after putting out some fun stuff and people kind of thinking, oh, that's all this guy's about, this is, you know, what is this? And none of those people even listen to the whole albums. You know, you have songs that kind of tell your whole story, but that, you know, if it's on the radio and the one that's out, that's you're only as good as your last song, I feel like. And I think having some success, being able to, you know, mature and as an artist, songwriter, all that, know that, hey, I have people's attention now. I don't know that they would have listened like they do now at the beginning. And I think you need to get their attention before you put out a serious message like that. And that my second album kind of gave me a chance to show, hey, I do like to have fun, but I've been through breakups. I've lost loved ones. I've been through, you know, a lot of stuff that maybe I didn't get to sing about on the first album. So that was when, you know, that for me, I'd always wanted to write songs that meant something to people. But I think, you know, when I realized that, hey, now's your time to write those songs to the, you know, people are listening, you have a platform, use it, you know, in the right way. And I think every song can't be like that, though. That's what makes those ones that are that pull at your heart. Mm-hmm. That's what makes them so special. So, and yeah, I love to put on an energetic show, but now it's getting to headline shows. I mean, it's longer, so I can take the whole emotional roller coaster. We're gonna have fun, but I can also stop the show and play You Should Be Here, and, you know, bring tears to people's eyes, and then go back and play something fun. It's just, I don't know, I think that's life, though. I think I want my show to be like that. You want to just play fun songs because it's so energetic and you hate to, you know, bring people down. But I think there's, you know, you got to think, everybody ain't out there to hear the fun. There's somebody out there, and I've learned that from releasing songs like You Should Be Here, that's one song that somebody out there, that's the only song they came to see. And it's hard to, you don't want that to be the case, but hey, if that's the case, then you better play it. And that people ask me, how do you get through that every night? And
that's what I was going to ask. How were you able to even write that?
I don't know. I've just always been that person. I mean, for me, music, some people, especially the serious, the sad songs, you know, some people just are like, I don't want to hear that. I can't hear that right mm-hmm. now. And that's fine. That's how me, I do. When I'm like, I want to crank it up and know that somebody else feels the way I do about it. And I'm not alone and thinking like this. So for me, wow. You know, writing that was, you know, it was personal, but I wanted it to be where a lot of people could relate. You know, it didn't, for me, it was about my dad, but there's so many stories. And I learned the first day it hit radio that my story is nothing compared to what some people have been through.
And just because it was a flood of people reaching out and telling you.
Just their story. I'm like, you know, I thought losing my dad in a tragic accident, you know, after I had him 30 years was bad. Nah. I mean, that's there. And that's what I'm saying. I didn't really know, I don't think, what I was getting into, but man, it's made me better just by hearing their stories and knowing that, like I said, I just know the kind of guy he was. He wouldn't even like that it was written in his, like, about him. That's how he was. But other than that, the fact that, you know, it inspired me to write something that's helped so many, that's how he was. So I just think, you know, that's why I moved to town. You said that earlier. I think that's why I moved to town, to write that song, at least, or songs like that, because, mm-hmm. you know, as fun as some of my other stuff is, that hopefully people remember, that song's helped people more than probably all my other ones combined. So
you had the first album and then the second album, like you said, that let you show a little bit more of that. And then you've got your third album released in August that debuted at number one. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, I know it's crazy. Third album, first time it's ever debuted at number one. So that was a big, just a huge accomplishment. I remember the first two albums, we were up against the same week. I think Keith Urban put out an album on one album, and then also Eric Church the next one. So it was kind of, it's pretty cool to be even, your name to be up there with those guys that I've looked up to those guys for a while. So having my third album out is, like I said, I'm just glad. I always dreamed of having one album. Got that one, got through the second one, and I remember after the second, I was like, I don't know that I can do any better. This is as good as I've got, you know, and just feeling that pressure of having to go, and now I honestly can say that this is the best one yet. The reaction, feedback, I mean, it's hands down, I think, best work we've done, and I think that goes back to what we were talking about. I always said I wanted to pick the best songs, whether I wrote them or not. I'm a songwriter first, but we got a lot of great songwriters in this town, and I have to thank them for this album too, because they wrote, you know, several songs on here that I wish I would have written. But that's what happens. You get around town and you know, people believe in you and they trust you with their songs. That's a big compliment. So this one, yeah, it's titled All of It, and I think that's the perfect title. I think it is a little bit of everything. So some good mixture of the first two albums with just better songs, I think. And there's a lot. I hope there's something on there for everybody.
What's your life like when you walk around town? I mean, can you walk distances without people stopping you or what?
You know, I rock my Georgia Southern hat all the time on stage, and which half the people and listening even probably think it's my initials, but it's really not. It's my college. But so it's kind of, I'm kind of a ball cap, t-shirt, so I'm kind of blend
that
in.
That would be kind of weird if you just walked around with a hat with your initials. But
you wouldn't
right?
believe I mean, people that think that, because it's so, the way it looks, it's a GS.
A C, right,
it's,
it looks
and
like
it looks,
CS.
I mean, I get it, but they're, you know, I can't imagine what they think of me. Some people have known me
well,
for like a year.
Well, you're a merch
year,
guy.
Like,
I mean, you could capitalize on
that.
I know,
kinda... but I'm not that level. I don't want to ever do that, I don't think. I just, yeah, like I said, anyway. Where was I?
Walking around town.
Yeah,
do you get stopped?
I'm pretty, I think I blend in, you know, I'm just, it's not that, I mean, Nashville here is a little different if you go downtown where there, you know, there's tourists mm-hmm. and stuff, but I don't mind that every now and then. I know people think that's crazy, but it's like, man, I like meeting people. And like I said, I came here as a fan first of my college years, and if Dierks Bentley would have walked in, I'd have freaked out. You know? I'm a big fan. Then it's just crazy that this town's like that. You never know who's going to jump up, sing a song with
yeah,
a band.
Really?
And I just don't
do
ever
want
to. No. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't ever want to stop.
Do you ever
doing
jump
that,
up and sing Amazed?
I do not do that. And I will not. I will. Well, maybe for the right girl, we'll see.
How is your love life? Since you brought it up, is the love life good? Are we in a good place?
I mean, I'm in a good place. It was just album release week and all that stuff. You know, I keep that private. But I'm honestly, right now I'm happy with my career. I'm just trying to, you know, I'll settle down. I do want to settle down. I do want that someday, and I hope. You know, I think it's got to happen when at the right time, but and that's the part of this career that people don't think about sometimes is I think if I had a normal, you know, I don't, I'm not saying I don't have a normal job, but I don't think it's very normal. I mean, the traveling,
right,
my schedule, it's hard on that, and you've got to find a very special person that'll put up with the traveling and this kind of lifestyle. So I think that's something that it takes a toll. You know, a lot of people don't think of it, but you know. The fact you brought it up, that's the truth.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Oh, you're good. No, I'm saying, I don't mean, I'm just being honest. That's part of it, of this business. I have friends, I say that to say this, I have buddies, you know, back home that are like, God, I wish we could come out with you. I wish we were out there doing that. And then, you know, they have beautiful kids and mm-hmm. been married for 10 years. I'm like, hey, I wish I had that. And that's, honestly, I mean, you know, I think you got to find a balance. I think I can do both, but I don't know. I've worked so hard to get to this point, I think I've let that, you know, kind of affect, but I've got to enjoy more things than just my career, I think. So
it'll
that's
find
a
you.
Good, hey, I'm, yeah, no, it'll find me
and
somewhere.
And I just sounded like a mom, somewhere. I'm Thank sorry, because no, you're like, I could babysit
it.
You, basically.
Well, no, I didn't want to make you think. I willingly talked about it. You're good.
I just realized who you are, I think. You are the Bryce Harper of the country music world, and I know that you're not a Nationals fan, but I was trying to remember to figure out who you remind me of a little bit, and he's the guy in Washington, because that's where I'm from, that'll like, you know, go out and join a pickup game or whatever, right?
Wow.
And I think it's been interesting to watch him and his career, because he obviously is a phenom. And
oh my God,
right?
Yeah, I can't believe you compared. I'll take that. That's a huge compliment.
I know you're a Braves fan, but
I'm saying no, I didn't mean. I meant like he's an amazing athlete, like one of the best in the game. So I got to he came to it, which now his wife. They came to a show when I was on tour with Florida Georgia Line in Toronto, I think.
Oh wow, yeah.
He came. I'll never forget. I walked off the bus and Bryce Harper's walking, and I was like, what the heck are you doing? That's all I said. I was like, what are you doing here? And I was just surprised, but he was so cool and getting a chance to meet him. So
he's a huge country fan, too.
Right? Bryce, if you hear this, you're always welcome at my show, buddy.
Before we wrap up here, when you were talking so much about baseball, you were making me think, you know, when you think about baseball and everything around it and how, you know, you can smell it and you hear it, right? For me, that's what NASCAR is like, right?
Yeah.
And like, I find it almost spiritual to be at a racetrack and around the track in the morning, especially like right when everything's getting,
yeah,
you know,
and the
starting.
Sun's up and it just
And people are like wheeling out their cars and everything like that.
It's like a Days of Thunder scene.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, right? I know, that was great. What is that like for you? What do you find that is sort of your favorite time or, you know, around your job or whatever it is that you just really love?
Well, I love that you're a NASCAR fan because I think, oh my gosh, it's so cool to get the experience all that. And, I feel the same way. But for me, I think probably just being on the golf course, that's my just any time of day. I don't care when it is, but that's my escape, I think. I've, you know, grew up playing, and that's, you know, other than music, that's kind of my passion. A good day for me is try to find a gym, get some exercise in, then go play at least nine, if not, and then play a show. So it's a full day, but I really, that's what I love to do on the road, is find a golf course nearby, go play, get away, and, come back and play a show. Because I always know
You play the same day as you play a show?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you get tired?
I mean, maybe some. That's why nine. I've kind of learned that nine's kind of the key. Let's just do nine, because we used to do 18 and then come back, play a show, and it'll wear you out for sure. But at least I know that at the nighttime, I'm going to play better than I do during the day, because the golf is, I do love it. I'm not all that great, but, you know, the show, when it's, I know I'm there to play a show, so I'm going to make up for it. No matter how bad I play golf, I'm going to make up for it at night.
What is your pre-show routine? You were saying earlier that you have a kind of cool ritual.
Yeah, we have, you know, we just come at me, the band, whoever's out with us, do our little pre-show shot, and head to the stage. So that's pretty simple, but that's it.
A shot of what?
What is it? Whiskey. Usually, different kind of, but let's. We've got a little special vodka mix that we like to do. It's kind of vodka. I don't even know what kind of juice. I don't make it. We've got somebody for that. So you got to come out to a show.
Gotcha,
if you're listening,
okay.
Come out to a show, and we can't give away the recipe. You'll have to do it. It's called Cole's Pre-Show Punch.
Cole's Pre-Show Punch. Pre-show
punch.
It's hard to say. Okay. So that's what you do on stage. And I know that you are getting ready to go do a really cool kind of show, right, at a racetrack. At the Brickyard.
Yeah. We the Brickyard, it's, you know, I've never done an actual concert there. So it's going to be, you know, huge for, like I said, it'd be like, you know, me playing at the Opry or something. You know, it's just some special country music venue for the, you know, race car drivers. This is the Brickyard. It's a big deal for them. And like I said, the fact that, you know, NASCAR country music, that we're mixing this thing together for FGL Fest, get to play a show, watch some racing, see some buddies, and it should be a good one.
Awesome. Cole, it's been so great talking to you.
Hey, you're amazing. Thanks for your time, and like I said, y'all are always welcome at my show.
Oh, thank you very much. Before we say goodbye for good, what would your championship moment be?
Championship moment would be winning New Artist of the Year at the 50th ACMs in Arlington, Texas. I have to be it, yeah.
That's amazing and specific.
Yep.
Why?
That's it. I mean, that's just, you know, that was a big award, and to be there, you know, that whole weekend, it was the 50th ACMs. Mm-hmm. It was first time it was in Arlington. I got to sing with Alan Jackson the night before, a childhood hero. And, to get that award, that was, you know, one of the coolest moments of my life. And mainly, honestly, just because that's one of the, you know, only awards I've won. And it's special because I got to share it with everybody. And that's, you know, anytime award shows, anything come along, if I want to win, I want to share it with everybody, because there's so many people that, you know, allow me to do what I do, that are in town, that travel on the road with me. And getting to share that with everybody and seeing my band, there's a video of my band reacting and everybody in my dressing room when I won, like they're watching the TV.
Yeah.
And just seeing them jump around, I mean, there's popcorn. It was honestly the coolest probably moment of my career.
How amazing is that guy? Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. Thank you to my guest, Cole Swindell, a tremendous artist, a great guy. I encourage you to go listen to his album, All of It, that was released in August. It is amazing. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of Players. You can find these on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or anywhere you get your podcasts. And do not forget, please, to leave a review while you're there. Thanks to the folks also at Cadence 13 for their production work, especially my good friend Bob. And thanks, of course, to my sponsors, Third Love and Green Chef. They're both the real deal. I can still, though, taste that dinner from Green Chef. It's phenomenal. Please support them the way they support this podcast. Thanks again, and I'll see you next week.